Good morning, Leavenworth Church of Christ. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 24. We're going to begin there in a moment. Luke chapter 24. It's good to see everybody here. If you are visiting, we are glad that you're here. We hope that you'll find this time to be a time of hope and healing for you. If you are a member here at Leavenworth, we're glad that you're here. You could have slept in. You could have done something else, but you chose to be here. And we hope also that this time is a time of hope and healing for you. My name is Mark Barone. For 14 years, I served as the Executive Director of Christian Family Services. So I've known John for a long time. And a couple of weeks ago, I called John. We were talking about some ideas and suggestions. And he said, you know, that he was moving on. And so he said, hey, I need someone to speak today. And he said, I've really wanted someone that was the best replacement for me that I could find, but he was unavailable, so can you do it? So I said, sure. I'll be glad to do it. I know the challenge of looking for a minister, and so my prayers are with you. It's an incredible challenge, but I got to be honest with you. Driving in, it's been 3 years since I've been here in the Leavenworth area. It's grown a lot. I mean, driving by and seeing that huge Walmart and all the new places and things they're building, this Leavenworth is in a position for growth. And so it's a great opportunity for everyone here, for the growth and the opportunity to help so many people in the Leavenworth area. So my prayer is that as you find the right person to help you to grow God's kingdom here, and to help people to understand what the real important thing is. And it's about Jesus and the resurrection. Speaking of the resurrection, in 3 weeks we celebrate what? Easter, absolutely. Now, I have a vivid imagination. So I want you to imagine with me this morning that it's 5 minutes before sunrise on the resurrection morning. And it's dark. It is so dark you can't even see your hand in front of your face. And our Lord is in the tomb in this darkness, 5 minutes before the stone's getting ready to roll away. And I always wondered, what was Jesus thinking before that first ray of sunlight, before the stone was rolled away? I wonder if he was thinking, you know, I wonder if the 12 disciples are waiting outside for me. I told everyone, I will die, and 3 days later I will be what? Raised from the dead. I told him 3 times, I wonder if the 12 are going to be waiting for me. I wonder if Peter, James, and John will be waiting for me as I come out of the tomb. 1 minute left. And he's thinking, well, I wonder if my mom's going to be there. Because mom was there for the crucifixion. I wonder if she's going to be there. All of a sudden, the stone's rolled away. Jesus comes out. Ta-da! Nobody? Nobody's waiting for me? I told everyone 3 times I would be raised from the dead. Nobody's there now. I point this out for 2 reasons. Number one, that to me validates the scriptures. Because if it was just written by a bunch of guys that followed Jesus and he really wasn't raised from the dead, they probably would have wrote, and he came out of the tombs and we were all waiting for him and we celebrated. Congratulations. The band was playing and then he was just taken up into heaven. That's not what happened, right? They didn't even believe. Nobody was there. So to me, I was like, well, that seems more realistic. The question was, why did they not believe and then change their mind? But the other thing I thought was interesting was, if it was me, I mean, you think you were disappointed because somebody forgot your birthday? He's disappointed. And for me, I've been like, forget it. I don't care. I died for their sins. That's it. That's done. I'm just going to go up to heaven. Let them figure it out. That would have been me. But what does Jesus do? He goes looking for people to believe in him. Just like he's doing that today. He's still looking for people to believe in him. The death, burial, and the resurrection. So let's look at one of those scenes in Luke chapter 14, 24, beginning in verse 13. Now that same day, two of the disciples of Jesus, were going to the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, Jesus asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their face downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who do not know the things that have happened these last days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. He got to have a sense of humor. These two guys are walking away. They're walking down. They're walking home. And all of a sudden, Jesus kind of walks up and says, "What you talking about?" And the guy just stops and looks at him and is like, "What rock have you been hiding under?" Kind of. And he says, "What is it? What happened? What's going on?" And so they explain. Verse 19. "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And the chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. And they crucified him. But we had hope that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since that took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find the body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who had said to them he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they had not seen him." We learn that these two are disciples of Jesus. They were strong followers of Jesus. As a matter of fact, they were kind of in the inner circle. They were with the disciples. They were with the women that were following him. And as followers of Jesus, they were. If you were to ask them, "What do you think about Jesus?" they would have said, "Oh, he's a great prophet, great teacher. Oh, when I heard the Sermon on the Mount, it was just like awesome. I learned so much from Jesus." Do you believe he was raised from the dead? No, not really. See, I just see, notice, they said that the women came and amazed them. They started talking about Jesus and the resurrection. And I just think they looked at each other and said, "We need to go. Let's go home." I mean, Jesus is a great teacher, great person, great individual, but resurrected from the dead? Yeah, it's a little bit too much. I lived in California a couple of years ago, and I was talking to some people, and they were talking about Jesus being a great teacher. And they started talking about Lord Jesus. And then they started talking about Lord Buddha. And they talked about Lord Muhammad. I went, whoa. None of these guys died for my sins. None of them were raised from the dead. There are a lot of people that believe in Jesus' teachings, but they really haven't tied it to the resurrection. And that's kind of where these disciples were. They were walking away from the resurrection. Because they were like, "Man, that's a little much." Not only that, they were walking away, but they were walking away disappointed. See, they thought, "Well, I thought Jesus was going to fix my problem with the Romans. The Romans, they're too much taxes. They make me carry their stuff an extra mile or two, and I just don't think that's fair, and life's unfair," and on and on and on. And he didn't fix it. You know, a lot of us, and I've been there, we come to church, we're like, "God, fix my problems. My marriage is not what it should be. Can you fix it for me?" And it doesn't get fixed, and they're like, "Okay, I don't believe in Jesus anymore. I believe in Jesus' teachings, but it didn't fix my problem." Right? "I came to church, and I thought if I come to church, you know, my debt and everything, all the problems I'm having, God would just fix it all, like wave a magic wand and just fix it." And he didn't fix it, so I just stopped coming. "I believe in Jesus' teaching, but, you know, the resurrection and things, I don't know." Isn't that where these two guys are at, right? Isn't that what they're struggling with? They believe in Jesus, they just don't know about this thing called the resurrection. And all they know is, "I followed Jesus, I thought he was going to fix all my problems, my marriage, my debt, my struggles, and he really didn't fix them, so I'm done." You know anybody like that? That's been there before? Look at Jesus' response in verse 25. He says to them, How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said about him in the scriptures concerning himself. That had been fascinating. Here is Jesus having a Bible study on Jesus, going from the beginning of Genesis all the way through Malachi, explaining this is what God's trying to do. And I think Jesus is basically telling them, you think your biggest problem is the Romans? They're not your biggest problem. Matter of fact, the Romans will be gone in a couple hundred years. A couple of, 500 years or so. They'll be gone. That's not your biggest problem. And he says, he's trying to explain, this is what God is trying to do for us in the resurrection. He's trying to fix our curse. And I just kind of like, what do you mean? The curse of death? We're all going to die. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how bad you are. We're all going to die. Only two people in recorded history kind of got out of it. We're going to die. Jesus came to die and be raised again to fix our problem of death. And they're like, oh man, I didn't know about that. I didn't think about that. The problem you have with good and evil, the struggle? Nobody asked to struggle with good and evil. Nobody said, God, please, can I have some more good and evil? I really want to struggle here. We were born with it, right? At some point, we came to the knowledge of good and evil. I'll never forget the one time I was about 7 years old, and Satan was like, just take the money out of your dad's pocket. He won't notice it. It's just change. It's no big deal. Okay, I'm just going to take the money. Nobody will find out. Of course, he what? He found out, and he disciplined me. And I'm sitting there because he disciplined me, and I'm thinking there, and this voice comes in and goes, man, you're a worthless son. And I thought, wait a minute. You dogged me to take the money, and now you're dogging me when I get caught? I really don't like you, right? This struggle of good and evil, this struggle that we have, we didn't ask for it. It's a part of the fall. And because of the resurrection, God has dealt with that aspect of it. Jesus no longer struggles with good and evil as far as externally. And there's going to be a time when we're no longer going to struggle with good and evil. We're going to be raised from the dead. We're no longer going to struggle with good and evil. There's a lot of unjust suffering in the world. We all struggle with it. We all experience it. We talked about that in Bible class. We're going to be going to a place where there's not going to be any more suffering anymore. Any more unjust suffering anymore. We're going to a place where everyone is just nice. Nobody lies. Nobody cheats. Nobody commits adultery. Nobody does any bad stuff. Everyone thinks of others in addition to themselves, and they don't think of just themselves. It's called heaven. And it's going to be different than down here in the curse. And so Jesus is explaining, this is what God's trying to do through the resurrection. This is what he's been trying to do by sending his son into the world to share the curse so that we all have the opportunity to share in his sonship. And I just see the disciples going, I didn't think of that before. I thought it was just about going to temple worship. I thought it was just about offering sacrifices. I thought it was just about being a good person. And Jesus is explaining to them, no. This is what God's trying to do through my coming to the earth, through the death, through the burial, and now through the resurrection. Make sense? So they're like, wow, I never heard this stuff before. This is cool. So look what happens in verse 28. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over. So he went and stayed with them. Again, I thought that was pretty funny. They get to the place, Jesus is like, okay, I'll see you guys. And they're like, no, whoa, where are you going? Now they really want to say, look, the stuff you've been telling us, man, this is really cool. I never heard this stuff before. This is great. Instead, they're like, whoa, you can't leave. It's going to get dark soon. You can get robbed. You can get beaten. You can get killed out there. And Jesus is going, been there, done that. Right? He's just pretending. They're like, come on, just stay. Just eat a meal with us, please. We want to hear more of this stuff. This is stuff we haven't heard this stuff before. This is incredible. You know, you're bringing something new, brand new. Which to them, the resurrection was kind of brand new. So he says, okay, I'll stay. Let's read on. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks and began to give thanks to that. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? I don't know who asked him. Would you give thanks for the food? And I'm just sitting there, and Jesus is taking the bread, and they're both, you know, one of the disciples on each side. And by the way, this is really the first Lord's Supper after the resurrection. And so he takes the bread, and I think their heads are bowed, and they're just going like this. And then all of a sudden, Jesus starts praying, and they realize, wait a minute. Kind of one eye opened, and both eye opens, and they both looking, and they're just like, it's him. And then all of a sudden, he just disappears. And they're like, what's going on? And they're going, it was true. He's alive. I can't believe this. And they start screaming. I bet some neighbor comes over and goes, what are you screaming about? And he goes, he's alive. And they're like, who? Jesus. And they're like, oh, come on. I mean, he's a good teacher and all. And he says a lot. And I enjoyed that Sermon on the Mount stuff, but resurrection, come on. He goes, no, it's true. It's true. And then I think they just looked at each other and said, we got to go. And notice what they did immediately. Verse 33, then they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. Now remember, this is 7 miles. 7 miles back. They just got there. And I think they just look at their neighbor and go, we got to go. So where are you going? We're going back to Jerusalem. Well, you just got here. Why don't you just do it tomorrow? No, you don't understand. He's raised from the dead. We got to go back. See, before they were walking away from the resurrection, now they're walking what? Back towards it. And you know what's amazing is? What's changed in their situation? Are they still under Roman rule? Yeah. What's really changed in their situation? They're understanding what God's trying to, how God's really trying to help them. Through the death, burial, and resurrection. That's what's changed. They still have the same problems, but with a new attitude. You know, when you come to Christ and you realize, oh, now I see what God's doing through the resurrection, how he's trying to bring me back to him and raise me from the dead and free me from the curse and all this stuff. My marriage is still struggling, but that's okay because God has given me greater hope. You know, I'm still struggling in debt, and some of us, we're never going to get out of that debt. Just the way it is. But God has given me hope. The resurrection, when you realize what God is trying to do for you in the resurrection, people who follow Christ and don't believe in the resurrection tend to be disappointed in life. But people who follow Christ and do believe in the resurrection have a completely different attitude. Now I see what God's trying to do. Yes, I'll follow him even though the curse is a pain in the neck and things are really tough. But now I get it. And so they run back, and notice what they say. When they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, they were found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two that told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. They got it. Jesus and the resurrection. They got it. They understood God is dealing with my curse through the resurrection. Because the resurrection is the cure minus the curse. Oh, now I see what God's trying to do. And the cure helps my marriage, or it helps me raising my kids. The cure helps me deal with unjust suffering. But that's still a part of this curse. And now, because Jesus shared in my curse, I get to share in his sonship when I choose to become a Christian. And I get all the blessings of sonship. And it's not anything I've done. He did it all. And that's what God has been planning from Genesis all the way through. Bringing people back to Him through Jesus and the resurrection. And that's what we celebrate this morning. That's what we celebrate every day. That's what we celebrate when we're depressed. God is taking care of the big stuff, not the little stuff. The little stuff will take care of itself in time. But the big stuff, death, unjust suffering, judgment, the fact that we can't see God the face to face, now God has made all that clear for us through the resurrection. Amen? That's what this is all about. So we realize, and we talked about this in Bible class, we need a new starting point as adults. And for us, for God's people, this new starting point is Jesus and the resurrection. And that's what we celebrate. Because of what He's done, we've been redeemed. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what He's done. I've been those disciples. I followed Jesus' teaching, but I really didn't focus on the resurrection. And I kept walking away depressed. Christianity doesn't fix everything. And God says, what really needs to be fixed is the curse. And I did that for you. A gift for you. You don't have to worry about the curse anymore. You are now in transition to go into heaven, where there is no more curse. And that's what we celebrate as His followers. Let's bow for prayer. Blessed are You, Lord God, King of the universe, for Your love and Your mercy and Your grace. Father, You are good. We thought our problems were the little disappointments in life or the different struggles or the unjust suffering, but instead, You helped us to focus on what our real problem is, and that's the curse of our world. Death, suffering of good and evil, the struggle of good and evil, unjust suffering, the feeling of judgment, all this is a part of the curse. And You, through Your Son, His willingness to come and share in our curse so we can share in His resurrection, and how You're drawing all people back to You through that resurrection. And Jesus, alive and well, sitting at Your right side, is still calling people to get to know the risen Savior to help us to deal with life problems. We know these problems are temporary, but we know our biggest problems You've already dealt with as a gift to us. We just ask that we can learn to appreciate what You've given us so it motivates us to live a life of love and to live a life of thanksgiving. And thank You that You have shared in all of our sufferings through Your Son, and You know what it's like to live under this curse, and You know what it's like to be let down, disappointed, hurt, abused. You know what it's like. And You've risen above that through the resurrection, and now You're in a place and You're calling us to a place where there's no more evil, where there's no more suffering, where there's no more where people are unjust to one another. And Father, we need that, and we celebrate that this morning, the hope of the resurrection. Thank You for the leadership here and for the group that is here. I pray that You will bless them in their search for a new minister, that You would bless them and help them to realize what they have in You so that they can see and help others to really focus on the gospel, who is Jesus and the resurrection. Thank You so much for the gift of salvation. We pray all this in Your Son's name, and all of God's people said, amen. Let's stand for the closing song, or for the song.